thanks for tuning into the show. Welcome to it. My name is Eric Lee, and in the studio with me is Miss Ronnie V.
Hello, hello.
And Miss C.
Hello.
I want to start the show off by saying that our hearts and our prayers are with the victims of Hurricane Harvey. As of today, over 70 people have lost their lives. And I read today that 80% of the people affected did not have flood insurance.
Mm.
And so basically, you know, what a lot of people don't know is that just because you have homeowners insurance, it does not cover flood.
Right.
And if you don't live in a flood zone, you're not required to purchase flood insurance. I remember when I bought my house and my insurance guy came and he says, well, you're not in a flood zone, so you don't need to buy flood insurance. So it's just tragic. You know, how that storm came through and just devastated so many people. So our hearts and our prayers are with those people, with the families of the people that lost their lives. Now, Hurricane Irma is behind that. And now she's pounding Puerto Rico and all of that. And they're saying that here in North Carolina, we may see some of the effects of Irma. Won't be, I think they said by the time it hits land somewhere to be a category 3. So we might get, we'll get rain and we'll get some heavier than normal winds.
3 is kind of bad.
Well, three,
too,
yeah, man. 3, I think 3 is downgraded to a tropical storm. I don't think 3 is like hurricane level.
Well, let me tell you this. People think the hurricane is here now. I work at a grocery store. And they are coming in there shopping like it's the end of the world.
I know. Well,
yeah, they already out of water.
They always do.
I mean, so when your power and stuff go off and you buying all this ice cream and frozen items, what are you going to do?
You know, set it outside.
I had to come in on my day off today. And I came in to readjust the schedule for next week because they saying like Tuesday is when the storm is going to come.
Right.
So, you know, I was telling my manager, I said, look, Sunday and Monday is going to be our most, you know, drastic days, you know, as far as having coverage. He wants it to be a cashier on every registry before 10 o'clock. I don't have that amount of people to do that and then still cover the night shift. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm telling him, I said, look, they're not coming out in the actual storm on Tuesday. So let me just take care of Sunday, Monday. Oh, he is panicking. And, like, my store manager's on vacation, so it's just my assistant manager.
Wasn't he on vacation last week?
Oh, he gets, like, 10. He gets, like, 10 in a year. Hmm. And if you don't take them, at the end of the year, they just go away.
Yeah.
And but my assistant manager, he is just, like, he's not, like, a leader. Like, he make impulsive decisions. And I ain't saying nothing of that. I don't say to him. And I said, of all the times for him to be managing this store, this is just not the time.
Yeah, this is not, yeah.
He is just, he's ridiculous.
You know what someone once told me? I don't know if I told people the story about when I got passed over for a promotion that I should have had. And the vice president told the HR ethics woman that I wasn't ready. And do you know what she told him?
What?
She said, well, then you have failed to do your job.
All right.
Because your job is to make sure that
he's ready.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
So, you know, hearing you say that, I wonder if the store manager has taken the time, you know, to show this person, you know, how to run the store in his absence.
Where they both are fairly new coming from other stores. But I think the store that he came from was a very a high selling store. I think they was just happy to get rid of him. like for real. They were happy to get rid of him. But he's just, he's very impulsive. We had a customer yesterday that called, and she was asking for the corporate number. It was a situation that happened where cashier was scheduled to get off at 6 o'clock, and she just kept asking me, can I cut my light off? Now, we got lines down the aisles, and I'm like, you know, when we get the lines down, you can leave. Like, I understand you get off at 6 o'clock, but we cannot neglect the customers. So now I'm on the register. So normally I would be overseeing the whole front end, but that's how busy we are. I'm actually on a register. So she was telling, this is what I found out from the customer. She was sending people away from out of her line.
Oh no.
Ooh. Now her light was still on. She was telling people I'm closing. You know, I got to go because I think she had to catch the bus or whatever. But when she gets off, She always wait an hour for the bus. So it ain't like the bus is leaving you because right. you're never, you know, the bus is never there anyway. So the customer called the assistant store manager over. So at the time, you know, she's explaining to him what happened. Like, hey, she made everybody get out of her line. She was like, I'm 9 months pregnant. I am in labor. I am trying to leave, get out the store. But after her, a white guy comes up and he had like one item and she took him. This is my thing. It doesn't matter how many items he had. If you turned everybody else away, you shouldn't have taken him either. And that's why she was pissed. So, you know, the manager was like, you know, oh, you know, she shouldn't have did that. You know, what can I do? You know, I have a conversation with her. So when she called me, like, immediately walking out the store because she wanted to get his name. So I asked her, you know, what happened? And so she's going to explain. And I was like, you know, I'm very sorry for this inconvenience. I said, you know, if he said he's going to talk to her, he's going to talk to her. I said, but what we don't do is reprimand associates in front of people. I said, you know, right.
Oh, she wanted to see.
Yeah,
because
she was like, he just she was going in on him.
Oh, no.
You know, he just basically just disregarded what I said and didn't care about my situation. So I was like, you know, I apologize. You know, I said, you know, do you shop at this store often? No, I usually shop in the hood, but I thought this would be a difference. Like, you know, she said she was coming to my store thinking, you know.
It was an upgrade from her normal store.
You know, so I was like, you know, the next time you come here, you know, I'll offer her a $20 gift card. You know, because my thing is to prevent her from calling corporate,
sure,
even though it's the assistant store manager. And I
said, make her happy to come back and spend money in your store.
And so, you know, I was telling her, I said, you know, I will talk to him. I will have a you know, a conversation with the cashier or whatever. So she was like, well, will you be there tomorrow? I said, no. I said, but I will. I said, I have your name. I will have the gift card up here. She was like, no, I want to come when you're there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, some things could just be avoided, but, you know, she was just, like, so pissed with him.
Wow.
You know, so I'm just like, ugh. Some people just get a job just because they're there at the right time.
It's true. And, you know, I'm sure this girl was young, probably, that was telling people to, no, was telling people to get out her line.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I think
young
that,
and pregnant.
Yeah, I think young 21, people.
21, fourth child. Look, I don't know what's going on.
21 and
fourth
this
child.
Is her fourth
she,
child?
When I interviewed her, she's only been there 3 weeks. Oh, I didn't know she was pregnant. And, I mean, I wouldn't have, like,
sure,
not hired her.
Yeah.
But in those 3 weeks, she has 3 basketballs under her shirt. And I'm like, I want to ask her so bad if she having twins because, like, she wasn't even showing 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I understand her situation. You know, like, I allow her to have water and stuff. Like, I try to accommodate her on her shift because, you know, that's a, what you call it, like a disability.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Not really, but it's sort of like, yeah.
Like, you know, she need to have water.
Like,
yeah. But, you know, I told you, you can't have no chair. You can't sit down. Maybe you need to choose another job. Like, this
right.
is a
what,
job
what,
where
what,
you stand
what,
up.
Well, that's what I'm about to say. I think sometimes people, especially young people in the workforce, need to understand that it's not always enough to just do your job. Sometimes you have to go above and mm-hmm. beyond. And then they always wonder, why didn't I get a raise? And they always wonder, how come I'm not being promoted? And, you know, I say this all the time. One of my the only senior vice president, he said one time, he would always say, if you have the mindset that I don't get paid to do this, you never will get paid
exactly.
to do it.
Right.
Sometimes people want to see that you can do it first before you get the title and before you get the money.
And before being asked.
Exactly. And a lot of people don't get that. But, you know, I was really thinking about Hurricane Harvey and, you know, I always think about when people tell you that a hurricane is coming, like, why don't you get out of Dodge?
Exactly.
I mean, like I wonder if someone...
If you have somewhere to
well,
go.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If somebody, Greg Fisher came on TV and said, Raleigh, Hurricane Montana is coming here. It's coming. It's inevitable. I think I would probably pack up and go. But then I began to think about what if people don't have any place to go?
Yeah.
Like, what if all of their family members are there in that town?
Yeah.
Or in that place?
Where they all get together in the person's house that's more
stable, secure.
Yeah, that's what everybody do. Because, you know, a long time ago when I had the house that I just recently moved from, it had a basement. A full basement in the in the house, under the house. And a lot of times when the storms and stuff would come by, everybody would come over there.
Well, it makes sense in a tornado to get underground. You know, that's like one of the safest places.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, and I hear a lot of people say that, like, why don't they leave? And really, it's like some of them may not have anywhere to go.
Yeah. And if you do leave, what do you take?
Well, I mean, you would take your, you know, some clothes. I would assume you take some.
Well, think, but what if you're a family of five or six with one car?
Well, somebody's sitting in some laps because we're getting out of Dodge.
As far as clothes and you know, being able to carry and just money, the essentials.
What if they don't have any money? Like I know Atlanta, the hotels in Atlanta are booked because people are coming up from the coast.
Yeah.
But think about what if you don't have
and then the think money about for when a you hotel. Go back, will your house still be there?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, see, okay, if the house is not there, if you had stayed, you wouldn't be there either. So.
Well, yeah.
As soon as I heard that a storm or tornado or hurricane was coming, if I didn't have insurance, I would get on the phone right then.
I don't think you could.
And that's another thing. A lot of people don't have flood insurance because of where they stay is not prone for that, flood.
Right.
Okay, but I wonder if you just get flood insurance, is it extremely high?
No, it's not. I think it's like, well, I don't know, but I think someone told me it was pretty low. It's not like
well, then you should get it anyway.
Well, but you know, like I mean, you know, that's extra money. If you know, if you don't have to pay extra money a month, then you know, why
well,
do
I
it?
Have rentals insurance, and my insurance only went up 99 cents.
Yeah, well, renter's insurance only covers like things, you know, like clothes and stuff and, you know, things like that. But I might even look into flood insurance because you just never, the people in Houston never thought, you know, that they would experience something like that. So I don't know.
I don't think that's right. If you call before the storm comes, I don't think it's right.
Yes.
Nope.
Especially if the insurance people know that there's a storm in that area.
They're not
going to.
No, they're not going to do that. But again, our hearts and prayers are with, and so much money, so many good people are doing good things.
Who was that football player that had?
It was a football player,
$30 million was what he had gathered.
He had set out to only do a couple hundred thousand, and $30 million. Beyonce's donated about $7 million. Mm-hmm. Kevin Hart.
A million.
Sandra Bullock, Leonardo DiCaprio, a million. Oprah Winfrey, Tyler Perry. So many people. And, you know, it just warms my heart to see nobody's thinking about race in this time.
Right.
You know what I mean? And for people to come together like this to help. I saw black people helping white people helping black people.
Hispanic,
Asian, you know, everybody. And I think that that's the real America.
Yeah.
That is the, I will tell you this though, they are praising Trump for, you know, going down there and kind of like being, you know, involved, in Hurricane Harvey. He went down there.
Yeah, first time he went, they won't praise him.
Yeah, you know, but he, you know, he's gotten involved. So, you know, there's no love for Trump from me, but I'm just saying, you know, right is right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, people are praising him and saying that he's being very active. You know, in this storm, in this. Oh yeah, people are saying they were talking about it on The View today, and Sonny Liston, who never has anything nice to say about Trump, she was just saying that she applauded him for what he was doing down there in Houston. So
go Trump, yay!
Yeah, Mike Tyson said that there is one movie.
Yeah.
When it comes on television, he absolutely must watch this movie, and that movie is
The Notebook.
He said that he
Mike Tyson. Notebook.
He said he absolutely loves The Notebook.
Too.
It is a good movie.
It is.
I will
it
tell
is.
You, it is a good movie. Mm. There are a lot of, you know, I like, have y'all seen the movie called This Is Where I Leave You?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
That is one of my favorite movies.
Yes.
I love This Is Where I Leave You. Yeah. I love Something's Gotta Give. I like anything Diane Keaton plays in.
Mm-hmm.
I love Diane Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie with, what's her name? It's Alec Baldwin and Meryl Streep. They were divorced, but they were still messing around with each other. Was it Something Borrowed?
Is it Something Gotta Give?
No, Something Gotta Give is Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson. No. I think it's Something Borrowed.
No, Something Borrowed is the one with, what's her name in it?
What's her name?
Something Borrowed.
Anyway, the one that with them, and they had children, and he was married to someone else, and remember Steve Martin, she started dating Steve Martin. I can't remember the name of that movie, but that's like one of my favorite movies.
And it's not Something
well.
Gotta Give.
Something's Gotta Give is with Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson. Diane Keaton was a playwright, and Jack Nicholson owned a record label.
Jack was dating her daughter. Okay.
And then they started dating.
Something Borrowed is the one that the girl and the boy were in law school, and her friend started going with them.
Okay. We got to take a break. We'll be right back in just a moment. You're listening to This Is How We See It.
Feel my body getting cold.
Thanks for coming back with us in the studio with Ronnie V and Miss C. And we were just talking about Mike Tyson and how he loves the movie The Notebook. And it is a very, I didn't like the end of it, though. I didn't like the fact that they both died. I wanted her to get better. You know what I mean? And I wanted her, I love the fact that she realized she had a moment of clarity and realized, oh my God, that's our story. Yeah. It's just, it's so hard.
But do you realize he was staying alive for her? That's why he died at the end. He was only staying alive for her. You know, both of them had gotten real old and they had kids.
Oh yeah, the kids were grown. Yeah.
So when she got sick like that, because he stayed in the home with her.
He did. Yeah. He stayed in the home
but
with her.
But he was only staying there for her.
Well, I didn't know he was sick. How did you know he was sick?
He was old, too.
Well, that won't that old.
Okay, so how did he just naturally die?
I know 30 and 40-year-olds who naturally die.
No, I'm talking about he died right after her. The night she died, he died later on.
Who knows?
As a matter of fact, he got in the bed with her and died.
I remember.
You know what else was a very good movie? Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor?
Y'all never seen that movie?
I have never seen Pearl Harbor.
Girl, I wasn't even born with Pearl Harbor. I think Daddy said he was 3 days old or something when Pearl Harbor
was 1940.
No,
he said he was 3 days old when the Titanic.
Oh, yes, that would make sense.
Yeah. He was born in
Who was in Pearl Harbor?
Y'all gonna have to see it.
Song I sing about Pearl Harbor.
No, it was about the guy. It was two best friends that went away to the war.
Oh,
he had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And the best friend came back. The other one supposed to have
and
died.
Her. Yeah.
And then you remember he came back.
Yeah.
They thought he was dead. Yes, he had been gone for like a year or two.
Yes, I do remember.
They end up getting together, but the guy comes back and he came back for her.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was like in love with her, but she had got with the best friend. Found out she was pregnant by the best friend because she ended up staying. He ended up
pregnant by the one they thought was dead.
No, pregnant by the one she ended up being with, which was his best friend. Because both of them was grieving him together. So they eventually they got together.
That's how they, right.
So they both.
I know what you
They both had went back off the war.
Yep. Yeah.
And before she, because she still loved the first guy. But, you know, her
it
and the other
his
guy.
Brother.
No, they was best friends.
No, that's another movie. I know what movie you're talking about.
Okay. And then you remember, you know, he just kind of respected it. He was hurt because he loved her. But right before they went off, she told the one that she was in love with the first time that she was pregnant by the guy. And you remember he died? And he was like, you can't die. You about to be a father.
Yeah, I didn't see the movie, but I do know.
I think, now I love me some Titanic. But that was one of the movies that could have been up. Titanic is a
3-day movie.
Yeah, but it's a good movie. Yeah. Let me tell you a movie, and we're going to move on. But let me tell you a movie that people sleep on. that I think everybody should see. Have you ever seen Miracle at St. Anna by Spike Lee?
What?
About
who's
the
in
black
it?
About the black men in World War II. Oh,
never heard of him.
Les Alonzo is in it. What's his name? Denzel Washington was in it too. He was tossed around from foster home to foster home.
What's the
movie? Antoine Fisher, the guy from Antoine Fisher, is in it. I have it. It is a fan.
Oh, you have it on DVD?
I have it on DVD.
Oh.
I ordered it. It's been a while ago.
Okay,
need to see Miracle at St. Anna. It is a really good Spike Lee movie about the black experience. It's a little bit more personal. It's about their, you know, how they get stranded in Italy and how they don't want to really come back to America because of the way America treats black people. Mm-hmm. And Italy embraced the right. black, you know,
they're
black people.
Prejudiced.
Right. So yeah. Really good movie, Miracle at St. Anna. According to health officials, syphilis has made a comeback in a I went from movies to syphilis. Syphilis has come back in a huge way. Now, for the last 20 years, syphilis has been considered almost extinguished. And if not treated, syphilis can cause blindness, paralysis, and dementia.
What is syphilis?
It's a disease.
I know it's a disease, but what is it? A hard
it's
form
a disease.
Of gonorrhea.
It's a sexually transmitted disease.
I'm just, you know, chlamydia, gonorrhea.
And
I don't
blindness.
Know what syphilis is.
Syphilis is a stronger form of chlamydia and gonorrhea.
Okay.
And experts say that the outbreak is largely due to people trading sex for drugs. Oklahoma is seeing a really big surge in the disease. Mm. It started when a juvenile detention center tested three of their inmates, two girls and one boy, and they all tested positive, and they were only 14 years old.
Mm.
And then more cases started coming in. Reports say that at the end of 2015, there were 75,000 reported cases of syphilis. In the U.S. That's a lot for a disease that was all, you know, extinct, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, so people, protect yourself.
Bringing them an extinct pooty box over here.
I mean, you know, protect
hips.
Yourself. Protect yourself.
Yeah. I worked at a hospital for the criminal insane, and it was a couple of people there that had syphilis on the brain.
What do you mean? It was...
Well, if not treated, that's why it causes dementia. That's why they said dementia. Because if not treated, it'll get to your brain.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh yeah, it's a really really bad disease.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really bad disease. Really big back in I think the 50s or something, when syphilis was really big. 20 years. I guess that's what the 90s. I guess. I don't remember a lot of cases of syphilis in the 90s, but people get tested. Remember when minority actors and actresses were boycotting the Oscars and they named it Oscars So White?
Yeah.
Remember, I think Justin Bieber didn't go because of something or something. That year, there were no movies starring women or minorities or directed by women or minorities that were nominated for Oscars. So that's why the big thing was. Then the executives made a promise that they would bring more movies and television shows starring and being directed by minorities and women. A report just came out that said they have not kept their promises.
Mm.
The report says that 89% of executive producers are still white and 79% are men. And here's the question. I started thinking about it, and I wonder if is it a racial thing or is it a numbers thing? Because here's my point. Are people watching shows and going to see movies with minority characters in it?
They're bootlegging it.
See, because here's the thing. If people aren't watching the shows, the networks are not going to keep the show on air
exactly.
because the more popular your show is, the more money the network charges people for commercial space.
Right. Exactly. Right.
So if nobody is watching these black and minority movies, then they're not going to keep them on the air.
Exactly.
So really, some of the blame is ours.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, yes. Some of the blame, you know, you can't really just blame all Hollywood because, you know, we got to start watching these shows. I'm going to be honest with you, though. I'm not watching a show that's terrible.
Mm-hmm. No.
But see, our thing is we are watching the shows, but we're bootlegging them. We're not going to the movies.
Well, we're not watching the shows either because there is not too many black shows on television. Oprah has gotten in the game now. Speaking of which, you got to talk about Greenleaf.
I still ain't seen it.
She's gotten, well, you know, that's your fault.
Do you still have it up there?
That's your problem.
It is not on demand. I can't see it from home. Greenleaf is not on demand.
Greenleaf comes on Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock. So why can't you watch it?
Because I'm not going to look at what's coming on now when I missed the first three. I need to look at those first three.
Well, apparently you're not going to go back and look at the first three.
How can I?
You can't. I refuse.
I don't know what to tell you.
You have to tell me about one, two, and three.
I don't know what to tell you. I can't remember back that far. But
do you have the one for yesterday?
I do.
But the one before that one?
No. Not the one before that one.
Because he deleted every time.
Not the one before that one. But, you know, Oprah's gotten in the game. Then you got Empire that's doing well.
And did you hear 50 say that they was going to keep power?
Yeah, but you know what? Something's wrong with 50 Cent. He's not rapped too tight.
What's wrong with him?
He talks too much. And when he doesn't get his way, he goes and cries on social media telling people to stop watching the show on Stars. Don't watch Stars and all of that.
People get Stars because of Empire. Because of power. He has a right to feel the way he feels. So you don't want to extend it?
You have a right to feel the way you feel, but stop whining about it. And then freedom of speech. And then you come back and got to eat crow.
They said crow is good.
I don't know. I don't eat crow. And then you got to come back and say,
he didn't apologize.
Oh, yes, he did. Cancel that. Go back and watch Stars. Y'all can watch Stars.
Yeah, but his comment was like, yeah, them MFers knew. You know what it was, and we gonna be back. So he wasn't apologizing.
Anytime he doesn't get his way, he starts whining.
Now I wonder if he knew that they was gonna pick him up again, would he have killed off the most important people that was? Well, you know.
She's not. Why is she? That little girl wasn't the most important.
I mean, she was their daughter.
The first two.
She was their daughter.
Who?
The first two men that were killed.
Julio. Can you tell her who killed Julio? Because she said Tommy did, and he's in.
No.
Well, who did Tommy kill?
Julio was set up
by the game.
By the game
that he was in.
No. Is that who they put? Is Julio who they put in the trunk?
Julio was set up
by Dre. But the gang killed
That's
him.
That's correct.
Yeah. Right. Okay, now who did Tommy kill? Tommy killed somebody in the warehouse.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
No, it was the same night Julio was killed. Tommy killed two people in the same episode.
That was in the gang that killed Julio.
The little girl. Oh, yeah.
They killed Julio.
Yeah.
He went to them and
Tommy
killed them.
Tommy didn't kill Julio. And you know that they're on to Dre now.
Yes.
So when it comes back on, Dre's going to be running for his life, I'm sure.
I don't know. He got the Jimenez.
He does, which is the reason why they didn't roll up on them when they did.
Tommy is finna go get acquainted with his Italian family.
Yeah, there you go.
It's about to be war.
And they got 50 Cent in the back seat, so he gonna get his crew. And on that note, we'll be right back in just a moment. Stay right with us.
Feel my body getting cold.
We are back. Thanks for coming back with us, talking about Power and a couple of the TV shows before we went to break. What's the son's name?
can't remember.
Malik Tariq. I am so sad. I want somebody to shoot Tariq in his head.
Oh my God.
I sure
no,
do.
You did.
I
That's
am
not right.
Sick and tired
no,
of
you
him.
Did.
Yes, I. Do you need me to say it again?
No.
I want his character.
Sound good.
I want his character gone because he is the hard head. I mean, his head is so hard.
Yeah. But he's been, you know, like you say, sometimes when you get in a point in your life, like their kids they're very privileged. But sometimes you got to show them what they tried to shelter them from a lot of stuff. But I think with Tariq, he had to see for himself. If they would have told them their lifestyle, really, I don't think he would have had to seek attention from the other people, you know, instead of being called a square and stuff like that.
He wanted to get at his father.
Yeah.
And you know, that's why he got into all of that. But for whatever reason.
Well, that's his daddy's fault.
And, oh, Lord, and he's the reason his sister's dead.
You can't Woo, and you can't raise a child to say, hey, I need you to be a man and take care of your family.
And then going
to
lie and say he didn't see who killed the sister.
He did.
Because,
yes.
because he felt like he wanted to get them back himself.
But didn't you say the guy that killed his sister was an undercover cop?
He was a cop. Yeah.
Ray Ray.
Yeah. And we found out from Greenleaf last night that she was almost molested by the uncle. He lured her.
Who?
Grace.
Oh, the one that killed him.
That's why she was so mad at him all of this time. Not only, you know,
she didn't think about what her sister really went through.
Right, exactly. Because he tried to do it to her. It came out. And she actually told the boyfriend last night. So, and you know, the preacher, what's his name? Gacy Spanks?
Mm-hmm.
Basie Skanks. They made him resign. The people he owed money to beat him down.
What, the little black-skinned guy, the one that was out with the perm?
Because the daddy.
Beat him down.
Whoa.
They beat him down.
I got to see it.
And so.
Where did the husband get to?
He's there. Greenleaf, the pastor, bishop,
told him. Where is.
Jacob is there. Jacob is now the head of that church because Greenleaf. What's his name? I can't even think
where
of
where did the husband get to, the gay
what?
Husband?
I don't know. He hasn't been back on the show. We don't know where he is.
Oh, because he left a letter.
Saying I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen him anymore.
Haven't seen him. When the wife, Jacob's wife, told the Jacob's mother and father what was going on with Basie Skanks, mm-hmm. how he was gambling the people's money away. So Bishop Greenleaf went to him and said, if you don't resign and give this church to Jacob, I'm going to turn you in. So he resigned.
Okay. And then got beat up.
Well, he got beat up first. Then he resigned
well,
and gave the church.
Up?
The people he owed the money to beat him up. So now Jacob is the head of this huge church. But they got something up their sleeve.
Yeah, his daddy. It's a reason.
Yeah, they got something up their sleeve because the mama says, and Triumph, that's the name, and Triumph will be part of Calvary. So I think.
But that was the plan from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Even with him allowing Jacob to go there, his daddy always had a plan. That's why he ain't, you know, fussed about it.
Oh, they're always scheming. And you know what?
They ain't as innocent as they said proved to be.
Well, on one hand, because, you know, I grew up in church all my life. So on one hand, I know that there are some crooked people in church.
Mm-hmm.
But on another hand, I'm like, Oprah, good Lord, is everybody? Are you trying to say that everybody in church is crooked? Right. Everybody ain't crooked in church.
Just trying to keep it interesting.
Yeah, I guess that's what she's doing. Chris Brown is finally talking about his episode with Rihanna.
Why?
I don't know. This is what he says in an interview. I remember she tried to kick me, but then I really hit her with a closed fist. Mm. I punched her. Now, the incident happened on February 8th, 2009. As you know, they were in this car. I think it was a Ferrari or something. He said, I busted her lip. When I saw it, I was shocked. I was like, blank, why did I do that? Why did I just hit her? So he talks about that there were multiple violent incidents during his relationship with her.
So they just been fighting.
Yeah, they had a volatile relationship.
And she probably was turned on by it.
Probably. He says that particular incident, that particular incident all started when she went through his text messages mm-hmm. and found something she didn't like. He also says, from there, she spit in my face. She spit blood in my face.
From him hitting her lips. And
it enraged me even more.
It was a girl that was, the party they was at, it was a girl that he used to mess with that was there that popped up. And he was telling her, look, I didn't know she was going to come here. But she texted him while he was there. And that's what started everything.
Is it who?
Because they left the party early.
Was it Karrueche?
Mm-mm. She went to that.
He loved her.
He still, I think he still loves Karrueche.
Yeah, I think he cared more for her than he did Rihanna.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because they say Rihanna's not a person that you take to meet your parents. Well, she's just a good time girl.
Every time you turn around, she's with somebody new. But, you know, she's grown. So do your thing, girl. Do your thing. And you know what I always say, you know, if you guys are fighting like this, you know, through your whole relationship, I mean, really, I mean, why even stay?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Some nerdy people stay for the sex.
That's true. And some people like drama.
Yeah.
Some people love drama. If ain't some fighting, if ain't no fighting going on and no spitting and kicking, this ain't a relationship.
Yeah. Some women like, beat me, Ike, beat me.
Let me tell you this.
Really?
Put your paws on me and see what happens.
Beat me, Ike?
Yeah, it's some women, if you don't hit me, you don't love me.
That is true. So Joe Arpaio was a sheriff in Arizona, and he was found guilty by a federal judge for criminal contempt for defying a court order to stop detaining immigrants based solely on the suspicion that they were in the country illegally. So basically, he was arresting Latino people
just because they were Latino. Yeah.
For thinking that you might be here in this country illegally.
With no proof.
Exactly. The judge found that he violated the Constitution by using racial profiling to jail Latinos. Now, Arpaio was facing about 6 months in jail. Well, guess what your president did?
He pardoned
him.
Now, you know that's some crooked mess.
A sheriff of a town. Not like a big, you know, official. A sheriff. Legal experts say that this is the most troubling because Trump used constitutional power to block a federal judge's effort to enforce the Constitution, and that the president of the United States would excuse the lawlessness of an official who had sworn to defend the Constitution.
I tell you.
Pardon the man.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that this man was guilty. It's mm-hmm. clear that he was violating the Constitution.
Yeah.
And then you use your constitutional power
mm-hmm.
to pardon him.
Mm-hmm.
That just goes to show you.
Yeah.
And how you
And what made it so bad, before the guy was even convicted, he had already said, Trump had already said he was going to pardon
him. That he was going to do it. That's really amazing, to be honest with you. That's some amazing stuff.
Yeah, sure is. Your president is something.
I don't know. They're trying to get these Latino DACA. Y'all heard about DACA? He just rescinded DACA.
Yeah,
DACA's the program for
Obama was hot about that.
Oh yeah, because it made no sense. These are children that were brought over here, yes, mm-hmm. illegally by their parents,
right.
But they were children. They had no say in the matter.
Right.
So they come over here because their parents come over here.
So this is home to them now as long as they've been here.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you're going to send them back to a place that they really know nothing about, and half of them can't even speak the language.
Well, what he did was he said, okay, Congress, now do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
Pass some type of law or something. So basically, he took it and threw it into Congress. Uh-huh. Congress.
But he said in 6 months he's going to review it.
Right. He's saying 6 months, and you know he wants them to pass some type of alternative.
He's giving them exactly 6 months.
I mean, it's a shame. It really is a shame that all of this is happening.
Yeah, your president.
Well, you know. Everybody's president. According to our new Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, you heard about they called him the Keebler Elf now.
Because he looked like.
Because if you look at him, does look like the Keebler Elf. He looks like a Keebler Elf. Deaths from drug overdoses is a top lethal issue here in the U.S. He has asked law enforcement and social workers to do more to foster a culture that's hostile to drug use. Studies show that in 2016, 60,000 people died from a drug overdose. That's a lot of people.
Sure, yeah.
So now they got syphilis because they're selling their body for drugs. And now they're dying from the drugs. It's amazing.
It's a lose-lose situation.
Here's a question. Here's a question.
Ask them.
Should a person's past matter in a new relationship?
Now, it depends on whether if you're saying that should a person tell that person about their past.
If you found out something about your mate,
okay,
that was in their past, mm-hmm. should it matter in your current relationship?
It depends on if that situation affects your current relationship. If it's something that has nothing to do with you guys' relationship, then what happened in the past is in the past. But if it's something that can affect what is going on in their relationship now, of course it's going to matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they can be acting out of left field, and then you find out something from their past, and you say,
That's why.
So it depends on
what it is.
Mm-hmm. But I really don't think that you really should discuss your past with your current mate.
I don't think
you should do it because then it's in their head.
I don't know.
Oh, he did this, and it might be some good things that he did. You know, he might have had a girlfriend or wife that he really took good care of and stuff like that. You know,
I think it depends.
I think past is past for a reason.
Okay, but say if you're a man, you get with this nice lady, right? Everything is just perfect.
Yeah.
But she ain't tell you about this psycho ex-husband done bashed in four of her. Yeah.
That's different.
No, but it depends on what it is. Everything shouldn't be top secret.
Right.
It depends on the situation.
Yeah.
You ain't tell me three of them was in the hospital and he done killed one. Like, some things need to be told.
It depends on the situation.
I think here's my take on that. People can change. And sometimes what happened in the past, maybe you learn from it.
Right.
And you're supposed to anyway. Right. And maybe, you know, but if your current mate finds out about it, they're holding that against you and you're not even that type of person anymore.
Right. Yeah.
So, but I do think that, you know, say for instance, you know, I don't know. You had a child when you were 14 or 15 years old. You know what? Maybe. And you gave it away up for adoption. That might be something that you might need to tell. I don't know.
Not that.
Well, what if that child comes back into your life? You know, what if that child is looking for you now?
Okay.
And then, you know.
I just think it depends. This is like, say you was a stripper, right? And, you know, that's your past. Don't define you no more.
Don't be talking about me.
But. Say he get to introduce you to his family and friends.
And then somebody
three or four of you done slept with that you just currently was introduced
that's
to.
That's not stripping. That's spotting.
Hold up. But I'm just saying, what happened in her past shouldn't define what goes on in her current. But in a situation like that, is that something you keep yourself or do you wait to see if they say something? And then what conversation do you have moving forward? That, you know, baby, I need to talk to you about something. Now, it's certain things. I understand you don't want your new person to know certain things depending on what the situation is. If it's something that can come full circle and slap you in your face.
Yeah.
And
you know what? I think in that case, most definitely you should say something.
So it just depends. Like you say, telling your whole life story, no. But if it's something that can affect current and something that If you ask yourself this, would I be mad if I didn't know? You know what I'm saying? Like whether or not you should, you know, tell that information. Put yourself in the other person's shoes and say, I think you should have told me.
Right, Right. Absolutely. I think so too. So
I don't tell nothing.
You don't tell anything.
Because she like to get slapped. That's why.
I whoosh her. I whoosh her.
She like to get slapped up.
Beat me, I.
We'll be back in just a moment. Stay right with us. Feel my body getting cold. Thanks for coming back with us. Ronnie V has some, wow.
Intriguing?
No, not intriguing. Actually scary. Quite scary. Ronnie V has some questions for the audience. I think it's mostly for women, but, you know,
this particular one is, okay? Y'all ready?
Yes.
Let me know y'all ready.
Yeah.
I'm talking to the audience. If they don't respond, I'm not going to. Okay. So the first question. If a married man fathers a child with another woman, should the wife be responsible for helping pay his child support?
During the time he's with the wife that he fathered this child, or this was before he had this wife?
And then I think it's during the time.
Okay.
You got to think about it. If a married man fathers a child with another woman. So he was married when he fathered this child.
Yeah, so he must have been married. Okay. Yeah.
Should she be responsible too? That's what you asked?
Yes.
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 And why?
The reason why is because you two are married and his debt is your debt.
Okay, Eric.
And if he's behind on child support and they go after him, if he don't have anything, they're going to go after that wife.
See,
too.
I disagree with you there, and I need to look that up. I'm going to say no. I do agree that debts are, you know, but that's debts. You know, that's
anything that was pertained during the time.
Okay,
they were married.
Listen to you and you will listen to me.
Ooh,
I'm getting ready to go.
And so no, I don't think so. And I don't think that now let me say this. Don't be mean to that child because that child is innocent in this.
They ain't got nothing to do.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that a lot of women may be mad at the husband and taking it out on the child. But I don't want you to see, you know, that child. I don't want you, you know, to spend no time with him. Now, I think that that is wrong. Mm-hmm. But why should she be required to help pay for a child that you fathered? Why should she be... You know,
well, if you're married, y'all money all together.
Well, think about this. So, what if he filed for taxes and they filed separately?
That's against the law.
You can file marriage.
It's against the law for two married people together.
It's a box that you check to say married filing separately.
Correct.
Taxes, you know that.
Correct.
Married people don't have to file together.
Well, I know that when me and my husband were together, but he fathered two children before I met him.
Yeah, but that's before you
and,
met him.
And they end up, the girl, which she didn't have to because he was, you know, giving her money and stuff, but it was in her hand. So she ended up filing child support.
Well, he should have got some receipts.
And everything he did was not
that's
existed.
Exactly. That's what I told him, but she did it when she got mad because we got married. And when his income tax came,
whatever he's
it did not
on,
come.
She get it.
It did not
That's
come.
Right.
It was with my name on it and his name.
Because
they
you filed
gave
together.
It to
because
her.
You filed together.
But you
okay.
can, you can and, file married.
And I
separately.
Asked, could we file separately?
Absolutely. And it's clear right there.
Well, they said it was against the law.
It's clear
well,
right
must,
there.
They must done, it's a box that you check for that.
Absolutely.
Now, this is my take on it. So I feel that, you know, when you're, first of all, you're married. He fathered his child. You stayed with him. Number one. Your money is his money. So unless you're filing married separately, if you file together,
they're going to take
anything
it.
That he's
absolutely.
Behind on.
Absolutely.
Anything that's in arrears is going to come out your
absolutely.
Paycheck.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So whether you physically take money out your pocketbook and hand it to the child, no. But is your money coming out, you know, with what he pays because y'all money are together? So you are actually still.
Technically, I can see that. I can see technically because if he's got having to pay for that, then it's coming out of the household money. So I can technically see. But I don't think that the wife should be responsible, you know, for it. I don't think that.
Yeah, like it's coming out her check and his check. Exactly. No,
if he
not in
pay,
that sense.
Then we're coming after you.
Okay. I need to look that up because I believe legally she is.
I believe not. Anyway, next question.
No, she's not legally responsible.
Y'all don't know.
Next question. Ladies, what do you think is harder to find? A man without children. B, a man that won't cheat. C, a man that is financially stable. D, a man without a police record. Or E, a man that's willing to commit.
A man that won't cheat.
You really feel that way?
You know what? Everybody does not cheat. You know what? I'm going to have to agree. I would say I think it's going to be harder to find a man that will not cheat. Every man won't. But I think that a lot of men do. Yeah. I think that it's easy. I think it's easy to find a man that doesn't have children. I don't think that that's a big thing. I don't think it's. I think it's.
It so might, even between a man that's willing to commit and a man that won't cheat, you still would choose. Won't
I say cheat. Because you don't. Well, yes, I'm still going to say cheat. I still think that cheating is probably number one.
What is it?
I mean, it's your opinion. I don't know.
I would say. What do you think it is?
I would say.
Say it.
It's kind of. I mean, these days it's a lot of men that do have kids. I mean, I'm 38, so maybe if I was younger, I would say, you know, it wouldn't be hard to find a man without children. But you know, older, you know, established men, you know, they have. I just feel like it may be hard to find a man without kids. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's just one.
So you think that's it. Mm-hmm. So you think that it's harder to find a man without kids than a man who won't cheat.
I know a lot of men that don't have children.
I don't know because like my mind frame is not like every man cheats.
No, that's
not
true.
And that, you know, it's hard to find somebody that don't cheat because if I look at it like that, then I'm just going to be single for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I can't look at it like that. Oh, it's so hard to find someone that won't cheat and commit. No, I don't think it's hard to find. Hmm. You got to think about where you look too. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you can't go to the do drop in and find Mr. Right.
All right. So, stop telling my business.
So, you know, I don't know.
There's one more, right? Don't you have one more?
I think we kind of hit this a while back. If a man is dating a woman that has kids, how long does he need to date her before he can discipline by putting his hands on them?
Never, ever.
Now,
you can discipline, but you said putting their hands. I don't roll like that.
I disagree.
It depends on, now say I was pregnant by someone else that, and we were not together, and I got into a relationship with someone while I was pregnant, or the child was just born, and they have been in their life only.
Exactly.
This is the only father figure that has been in my child's life.
Exactly.
You are daddy.
Exactly.
Just because you didn't father this child, you are his father.
I'm going to say if that father, if that man has been in that child's life, and that is the only father that he knows or she knows, and they are taking care of, they are actually acting like the true father of
and
the child.
And supporting.
Exactly.
You
and
are
supporting.
Father.
Yes.
You but you're talking about
the daddy.
Spanking some hips.
You know,
yes.
Men, okay, so men if have a tendency to hit a little hard.
And women do too.
That, and that's
you got
what some
big
need.
Burly hand women too. Big grizzly. Grizzly bear hand. Yeah.
I don't appreciate you looking at me like that while you're saying that either.
Let me tell you something. I just have to hit on this right quick because
hit on it.
I have a lot of male friends that are wonderful fathers. And we had a conversation yesterday, me and one of my friends. The system is really set up where a good man does not have a fair chance with being a father. This system is set up. If you're the mother, it don't matter what type of mother you are. It's very hard to get your child taken away from you if you're not on drugs or anything like that.
Right.
But just giving a father and a mother equal rights, fathers, the ones that take care, not the ones that just with sperm donors, men that are physically present, and just because they're not with the woman no more, they don't get a fair shot with being fathers.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
And, you know, and totally. He was just venting. You know, he has five girls. Five.
Googala moogala.
Same woman, five girls. Always paid child support. Even before the child support was in there, always been a great provider. She sit on her butt. She done got overweight. She get disability. She
that
does
ain't right.
Nothing.
That ain't
no,
right.
No, I'm just saying, this is where the disability come from. But he can only see his kids 2 weekends out the month. So that's 4 days out of month that he is pay over $2,000 in child support, but I can only see them. And then the days that it's scheduled for him to see them and she don't come, it's no consequences with her.
Well, he needs to call the court.
He didn't win the court. He has a lawyer. It's like they're not listening to anything he has. Well, he doesn't have a criminal background. He doesn't do. He don't drink. He don't smoke. It's just, I mean, just listening to him to last.
How old is he? Where he at?
Just listening to him last night. I mean, just really heartfelt. And I know he's just hurting. And it's just, I mean, I'm just realizing that the system does not make it fair for these
men
that are financially and physically trying to take care of their kids.
It's
and you
got
to come. You
got
to sit
North
right
Carolina.
There. I can. You got to be in the living room. I'm come see. They don't want to be. We're not together for a reason. Mm-hmm. Why do I have to sit at your house to come visit my kids?
You know what it is. She is that she must still have feelings for him.
They've been divorced for over 7 years.
But she still has feelings for him. She's still carrying something.
Well, she need to let it go
for this man. Because if she wasn't really feeling him like that, she wouldn't be doing that stuff to him.
She wouldn't care if he comes to see the kids, take them out.
She wouldn't.
How old are the kids?
It's a set of twins. That's 7, 8, because they got Doris probably when they was 1 year old, and it's 3 older girls.
That's what it is. She's harboring some feelings.
It shouldn't matter what her feelings are. The judge is condoning these things.
You would think. But I've often heard, and thank God I've never had to go through anything like that, but I've often heard that the courts were stacked against men.
It is.
Especially when it comes to, you know, children and support and, you know, domestic violence and things like that. A woman can just cry rape, you know, and
exactly
right. And then
even with her husband,
right. And a man, did you know that back in the day, a man could not, according to the law, a man could not rape his wife.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that, but now that law has changed.
Yeah.
And they can, and rightfully so, because some husbands might.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what is rape? You know
rape
what I mean?
Rape is when
somebody
say
no.
Right. Yeah.
Stop.
I had a friend that her boyfriend had forced her to have sex with him. And she was going to press charges against him. It was in the 70s. Mm-hmm. The early 70s. And I went with her to the police station. And they were going to do the report and everything. So they asked her, well, what relation are you to him? And she said, well, he used to be my boyfriend, but we're not together anymore. And she even went down there with what she had on. You know, her night clothes had, you know, trickling down her leg and everything. You know what he told her to do? Go home, take a bath, and get in your bed.
Yeah, back in the day.
He would not let her press charges again. And it was rape.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you guys for tuning in and listening. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Toodaloo. Feel my body getting cold.
Clever Mary J. Blige. feeling.